Vernomatic Productions.
Are you ready?
Live from the Metal Mayhem Studios in Rochester, New York.
We are gold.
And heard around the world by metalheads just like you. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Heavy metal music.
Your weekly dose of metal music, interviews, album reviews, news, and more.
Want to be part of the show?
Send us a message through our website,
MetalMayhemROC.com.
Or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Metal Mayhem ROC.
It's getting nice and heavy.
And now, welcome tonight's host, John the Vernomatic Verno.
Good evening, everybody. As always, Thursday nights, brand new content drops. We invite you to visit the MetalMayhemROC.com website. There you'll find direct links to all our streaming services, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, however you're getting your content. While you're there, download some past shows, leave a review, and do us a favor, sign up for that newsletter. It's our way to stay in touch with you. Tonight, we have a good one. We're taking a walk down heavy metal memory lane. There's no better way to, you know, celebrate the summer than to dig up some old viable metal bands from back in the day that are still going along and releasing material. So we're going to bring on Dave Overkill from the Cleveland band Destructor. 1985, they came around with that kick-ass Maximum Destruction release. And, you know, they had a legendary show up here in Rochester. So we're going to bring Dave on in a minute. But first, let me get my brothers in metal onto the show. We have both Southern Cal and Northern Cal, part of the Cal Zone crew. John, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, Vernomatic. Thank you.
And Northern Cal, Mike Calabrese.
Can't tell you how cool it is to be here, John.
Well, it's great to have you guys. Like I said, we were brainstorming. We're like, let's do something special. So before we get Dave onto the show, because he's in the green room waiting to come on, Mike, you had the idea. Why Destructor?
They blew us away back in the day. You know, I see Dave Overkill on Facebook and stuff like that, and he still seems to be going strong. I mean, he still seems to be really involved in the scene, a huge fan of a lot of good bands, and, geez, you know, his music still kicks ass. And I'm hoping that we can hear a new album coming up soon. So let's maybe see if we can get some answers from him.
Let's welcome to Metal Mayhem ROC, Dave Overkill. Hey, Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks, Dave, for joining us. This is Southern Cal. I do a little bit of stuff for the show that we do on Monday night, the Metal Mayhem ROC show. We love your band. We definitely give you guys a lot of airplay.
We appreciate that.
And my other friend here tonight, actually John's brother, Mike. He goes by Northern Cal because he lives up in the Vermont area. So,
Dave, how are you?
Hello, Mike. I'm doing great. Yourself?
I'm doing great. Really excited to have you on.
Let me tell you this, Dave. The reason we've been big fans since the Maximum Destruction release, me and my brother were both at that show in Rochester. We still talk about that show. I still sing verses from Maximum Destruction to my brother all the time. It was just you guys just captured me and my brother. We still talk about it to this day. It's
so you guys were there at the show, huh?
Oh yeah. March of 86.
I think I was 15 years old.
What was it, the Penny Arcade?
Yep, Penny Arcade shows.
All right. You know, listen, we have a lot to cover tonight and we're excited. We have an exciting segment later in the show. I was able to dig up an old interview you did with the Warhead. On WGMC. Okay.
That was out of control. Lots of beers, and we were feeling really loose that night. That was a lot of fun.
Okay, well, I added in some fun clips, so we'll get to that later in the show. Why don't you get us up to speed with what you're up to creatively, Destructor, and, you know, the new project you have?
Sure. So, Destructor's going stronger than ever. A few years ago, we released Decibel Casualties, and that came out on Pure Steel Records. We're now signed with Shadow Kingdom Records, and we're almost done recording. We have some vocals to do and mix and master for a new record that's going to be on Shadow Kingdom, and that's called Blood, Bone, and Fire. It's slated for late spring, early summer for next year. Obviously, a lot of stuff is pushed back because of vinyl production and CD productions and all that other stuff. So even if we finished it today, we're not going to see the product until, you know, late spring of next year, but that's okay. In the meantime, we've been doing a lot of shows. We have a new guitar player in the band named Mark Hellhound. And we're actually leaving tomorrow morning for Mexico City. We're playing a festival, Keepers of the Flame Festival. There's going to be a lot of big bands on that. Nasty Savage is one of them, and we're really excited. This is going to be our first time in Latin America, so it's a big deal for us. We're going to be hitting Mexico. We're going to be hitting Central America and South American fans that we've never had the opportunity to play for in the past.
I hear James Rivera and Hellstar is going to be on that bill, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're the actual headliners the night that we play, so we're looking forward to that as well.
Do you think you're going to be playing some Vulgar Devils material down there in Mexico, or is that just strictly going to be destructive?
Actually, no, not in Mexico, but the Vulgar Devils, which is a band that Matt and I started about, I don't know, 10 years ago. We did one release called Temptress of the Dark. Mm-hmm. That came out on Pure Steel, or Pure Rock Records, actually. And since then, we've had a couple of different new members in the band. So the band is actually like the old band on steroids. It's a little bit closer to Destructor, if you will, but it's still not like thrash metal. It's I still consider it to be more of what I grew up with. You know, we're sort of emulating the new wave of British heavy metal and the late 70s influences and all of that other stuff in a big soup.
Yeah, definitely sounds more hard rock.
Yes.
With definitely some heavy metal going on. It has some Kiss influences a little bit.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, definitely has some, a little Paul Stanley-ish. Not much. I'm not saying that's what
I don't try, but people claim that I sound like that, so I'll take it.
There's some hints. Nothing wrong with that. We're all big Kiss fans. No.
Mike sent me the link this morning. He's like, Vern, you got to check this out. It was like 75 Paul Stanley. You know, and it was like Kiss Alive 1 vibe of Stanley.
definitely not the I Was Made for Loving You, Paul Stanley.
Or Crazy Nights. But that's good stuff. So no Vulgar Devils on this tour. Obviously, the set list is going to be your whole catalog. Anything new?
We're actually going to play one brand new song from the upcoming release. And that song is going to be called Ironclad. The rest of the set list is going to be Maximum Destruction, Sonic Bullet, Decibel Casualties, Forever in Leather catalog. So I think we're playing about 45 minutes or so, and we're going to try to hit on a little bit of every single record. We're going to play four songs from the Maximum Destruction record because I know that's what the diehard fans really want to hear. So, and we're happy to accommodate.
Oh, I love the stuff of anything after that too. Sonic Bullet. I was so happy when that came out. Just some new Destructor. It was like, you know, sick. Loved it. Let me ask you, that Decibel Casualties was supposed to be released after the Maximum Destruction release. Is that correct?
Yeah. So if you have a minute, let me explain this. That was a title that we ended up really wanting to use, but after the band reunited in 1999, we decided we wanted to go back in and re-record all of the songs that were to be the second record, which initially was going to be named Decibel Casualties. But after all of this time, in the early 2000s or whatever, we decided we were going to call it Back in Bondage. So it's going to harken back to the first record. So the album Decibel Casualties was all new stuff that we wrote with Jamie when he was in the band. And of course, Jamie is Athanar from the band Midnight. And he was in the band for about 12 years and wrote a number of great songs with us. And we did a lot of great things together. At some point, he decided he wanted to just do the Midnight stuff on his own. So it gets to be a little bit confusing what was going to be Decibel Casualties, but the record Back in Bondage was for the most part going to be what was going to be our second record. We just thought it was such a great title. I didn't want to let that go. And when we decided that we were going to get the band back together again, there was so much unfinished business that we had to start with the last batch of songs after Maximum Destruction, and let's get those done, and then let's move on. And Jamie joined the band, and he wrote the song Sonic Bullet. I wrote the lyrics, and then we were off on another phase of Destructor.
We're talking about Jamie Boulder, who was the bass player.
Correct.
Who had replaced, I believe, Dave Holocaust.
He did, and we had a number of bass players between him and Dave Holocaust, but we don't have enough time to go through that.
Right.
Yeah. It's
well, let me just say this real quick. On Spotify, you have the re-release of the Maximum Destruction album, which has, I don't know, it's about 10 demo songs on there, which is just great to hear those songs raw.
Thank you, yeah.
But there was also, wasn't there some of the stuff that was supposed to be out on the Decibel Casualties album, some demos on there too?
So basically, Maximum Destruction Skull Splitting Issue is a two-disc set that has the first record, and then it also has everything else that we could throw at the record company that we thought was good enough quality to represent the band and that we thought the fans would still want to hear. So we're actually going to be reissuing that with another very big company in Germany that's going to come out next year, and that's going to be even more deluxe than that one. So it's going to have two different mixes. It's going to have some demos that didn't appear on there, some live stuff. It's going to be really like the complete early Destructor catalog.
Awesome.
So Dave, you know, you're working, you're living in Cleveland. Are you guys still really active in that area playing gigs with Destructor or Vulgar Devils? Is there a scene going on there that's still active?
There is, and Vulgar Devils have been doing some shows. Destructor have been doing some shows. Last year, I think this time, it might have been August, Destructor played in Chicago. And so we've been continuing on. We had a guitar player that was a good guy, but he just didn't cut the mustard. And we ended up with a new guy, Mark Hellhound, who's fitting the band perfectly and writing some songs now. So we're at this point now where we've continued to do as many shows as we can regionally. You know, a few years ago, we played in Portland, Oregon. We played Jarvis's Frost and Fire Festival in California. So Destructor have been as busy as we can possibly be. And we're just glad to have as many opportunities that come our way as possible. And we're continuing to look forward to the future with new music, new releases, and hopefully more opportunities to play in different areas outside of Cleveland.
Did Nick Annihilator leave the band on good terms with you guys?
He did. Nick is a longtime brother of mine. I love Nick. He's a great guy. He actually wrote about 2.5 songs for this new record with me. And the song that we're going to play, Ironclad, was the first song that he brought to the table when he joined Destructor 12 years ago or something. Nick is a real busy guy. He's doing more of his instrumental stuff, and he's also more of a prog rock and power metal type of guy. And it was just time for him to move on. It was nothing, you know, it happened during COVID where nothing was going on. And he was like, hey guys, you know, this is the deal. And, I still talk to him regularly. I love the guy. His band, Wretch, is a great band, and you couldn't pay me anything, you know, enough money to say anything bad about him unless you have a lot of money.
When you played the Frost and Fire Festival out there with Jarvis, did you have a chance to meet Jarvis Leatherby?
Yeah, I'm fast friends with Jarvis. I made friends with him about 10 years ago, and we've been in contact. He's kind of like a confidant, and he's helped me with a number of things. Before COVID hit, he had helped me book a tour with the band Satan in Europe. And then, of course, COVID hit. It was going to be in December of that year, 2020. Yeah. And, of course, that fell through. But he's a great guy. I love the band, and he's a good friend. You know, I mean, he cares about metal. He does as much as he can, and he keeps his friends close, and anybody that he really cares about, he's always willing to try to help out.
Yeah, he's got his hands full with a lot of different projects, like Satan, Angel Witch, and of course Night Demon.
So we had a
he manages Midnight, and as soon as he started managing Midnight, you know, Jamie reluctantly, Athanar was reluctant to want to start doing tours and all this other stuff, and he convinced Jamie, you have to do this. I'm going to manage you guys, and look at where they're at right now. I mean, they just blew up worldwide. They're back in Europe for another week tour. They just got back from Europe a week ago after a 4-week tour, and then they were touring the United States for I think about 4 weeks before that. So
I think one interesting fact I learned from Jarvis was when he's playing bass for Surath Ungle now, that they have never toured. They've played festivals, a show here, a show there, but they've never done an official Surath Ungle tour. I was very surprised to hear that.
You know, back in the 80s when there was a lot of everything was new, you know, that was like the golden age, the golden era, and a lot of bands were starting out and just cutting their teeth and stuff. There was a lot of opportunities for some bands and not as many for others, and then the glam hit and then grunge hit, and then things changed really, really fast in the United States. You're talking about the 80s, you know, and I'm no mathematician, but it was only 10 years.
a lot happened in that 10 years.
A lot was born in those 10 years and stuff, but that wasn't until the 2000s when there was a lot of opportunities around the world, and especially Europe, for a lot of these bands, where people all of a sudden, this kind of music was in demand again, and there was a call for them to reunite and make some records. And we're Destructors very thankful for that, because if it wasn't for that, who knows where we would be right now.
I had a chance to get to know Armand John Anthony a bit. Mm-hmm. Great guy. We had a great interview, and he briefly touched on that Satan tour. How tight are you with John?
I'm probably more friends with Jarvis, but I'm also friends with Armand and also Dusty Shoes. He's a fucking great drummer, and him and I end up texting a lot online and stuff. And we've all had the opportunity to meet and hang out together. So once you meet people that you realize that these are really good people. They're like friends for life, you know?
Yeah.
And then of course the guys in Satan, I became friends with, and we played a couple of shows with those guys. And Russ is a fantastic guitar player, and him and I are fast friends as well. So
why do you call him Dusty Shoes?
It's just a nickname. Dusty Drums, Dusty Shoes, but nothing collects on that fucking guy. I mean, that kid is an awesome drummer. You know what I mean? He's just busy, and he's a great, great percussionist.
I had a chance to see them open for Raven like 6-7 years ago. It was a cold November night in Syracuse. The bands were late. You know, they were coming up from Buffalo. You know, it was like shitty Western New York weather. And I really didn't know anything about Night Demon until, you know, Jarvis came out with those pork chop sideburns. And
some pork chops.
And that Flying V guitar or bass. Yeah. That's a great band, but again, they subscribe to that new wave of traditional heavy metal that I'm a huge fan on.
When bands come out and they're a really, really good band, they get thrown into this category or that category, and there's so many categories anymore, but
yeah.
The fact that it's just really good freaking music, you know what I mean? A good song is a good song. Whether it was written 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, or yesterday.
So are there any new bands you're into, or what are your some of the bands you're listening to, if you have time to listen to new bands?
I do, and for me personally, the most important thing that I can do is I want to leave a legacy behind. So if for Destructor, we're going to make as much music still and try to get as much of the piece of pie as we have left in our time. And also along with that, we support the scene. We support other bands. It's important to help younger bands and to like brag about them and boast how good they are. And Solicitor is one of those bands. Soul Grinder is one of those bands. I love a lot of the older bands that are still doing stuff. Satan made a great record. It's a timeless record.
I noticed that you posted something about Municipal Waste.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm friends with those guys, and that last record just blows me away. I mean, they just never fail to deliver. Municipal Waste are great.
Oh, they're excellent.
And
sure.
Bat as well. I mean, I just saw them play with my son Hunter and my wife Katie. We went to Pittsburgh to the Metal Immortal Festival.
Oh, right on.
And Deceased was fantastic. Bat was one of my highlights. They were just on fire, and I've seen Bat about three times before. And I think this was their best performance that I've seen them play.
So you're still supporting the local, somewhat local Pittsburgh. It's not too far from you guys.
No, it's about a 2-hour and 15-minute ride. And
That's pretty easy. Still.
It's great when new bands come out, you know, the Enforcers of the world. And, you know, there's a ton of Swedish bands.
What about bands like, Richie Randall and Grave Huffer or Casket Robbery? Or are you familiar with any of those bands?
I am not.
Okay. Again, there's so many bands, but I had a chance to meet Richie Randall and his band Grave Huffer. They're from, you know, the right side of you, Missouri and stuff, but they were, they come through. They play Ohio. They spent some time doing some Maryland dates, and they're down in Jersey this past weekend playing some of those festivals. So I didn't know how far into the scene you went. You know, you started reciting these bands, Bewitcher and all these bands, and I was curious if you knew any of those guys.
I don't have enough time to keep up with all of them, but I rely on a lot of my heavy metal friends to be like, hey, you got to hear this band. You got to check this band out. And honestly, that's the way I hear about a lot of these newer bands. I like to spend my money on my recordings and my equipment and my family and you know, building my record collection of like older stuff that I wish I had that I can buy now. But it's impossible unless you're a collector guy or something to keep up with the sheer amount of new talent that keeps popping up all over the place. And that's a testament to how strong heavy metal really still is worldwide.
I think too, there's probably a lot to do with a band. Now you can pretty much do your own recording and release your stuff yourself. Without promotion for it, like you would get from a record label or something like that. I think that's making a lot more music available to the listeners.
It's hard to keep up with.
That is true. Yeah. I mean, honestly, guys, you know, there's really no record industry anymore. There's a handful of record labels that still try to put stuff out, but every band has to make their own way. They got to pay for their own tours, their own merchandise, their studio recordings, and hopefully you find a record label that's willing to support you and at least put that out and get you some distribution.
I think country artists are the only people that still have support from their record labels and promotion
or something, right?
That sucks. Does it discourage you, or you're just like, well, this is the way it is, and you just want to play?
Honestly, it doesn't discourage me much. It's almost like the way it was back in the late 70s and the early 80s when every band was trying to come out and stuff. There wasn't enough record labels for every band. So if you wanted to do something, you had to do it, start making some waves on your own, try to get a demo out, demo tape trading, all of these things. Now there's, you can do social media and other ways of reaching people. So it's almost like, you know, we started to make fire with rubbing two sticks together again, you know?
I like the fact that you can, just the availability through all the different things like Spotify or Stitcher and Pandora. I wish we had things like that. I mean, back in the 80s, all we had were a magazine that you can, you know, a Cream or a Hip Parader or a Circus, or just the word of mouth coming from your local DJ.
Underground heavy metal shows.
Yeah, it was very word of mouth back then. So I wish we had the stuff we have now available back then. That would have been great.
Yeah, and you know what? What you guys are doing and the way the old school things happen and stuff, it's not a bad deal. I mean, if fans really want to hear something, they're going to get out and they're going to seek it and they're going to look for it. And people are the best promotion. if somebody likes something, they're going to tell their friend, you got to hear these guys, this band is awesome, whatever. And that's what it's all about. And, you know, heavy metal only got into the mainstream because of the Priests and the Maidens and all that stuff. And I love those bands. But it's almost like that's not available to any of these other bands anymore.
I like it was like the second wave of metal that came after those guys, like bands like yourself or Metal Church, you know, Nasty Savage.
Metal Church. Yeah.
Well, the next wave, you know, it's like even one of the bigger guys, Testament, they, you know, they're 87, 88. And it wasn't that long. And next thing you know, it's 91. And everything just changed. So, unfortunately,
especially in America, it was really short lived.
No, and, you know, Dave, you're totally right, because America in 2022, the music scene, it's nothing like Europe. You go over there, we're jealous. You know, I have this radio show on Metal Devastation Radio, and we have jocks all over the world, and, you know, they're talking about how they're going to see so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And it's like, yeah, this weekend they're going to see Saxon. And then, you know, Saxon and Girls School. And then the next week they're going to Hellfest. And there's, you know, 200 bands, six stages, and everyone under the sun. And what do we get? We get the goddamn stadium tour? Man, come on.
I know. It doesn't seem fair. America... Unfortunately, it's diluted. I mean, you know, the kids nowadays, most of them, all they listen to is what's available to them, whether it be on the radio or streaming or whatever. It's not like in Europe or even in some of these other countries, like Mexico and South America, where they're just now discovering. In Asia, they're just now discovering some of these bands. So these scenes are starting to flourish, but Europe has set the mold for how to do a festival, how to bring bands in, how to accommodate the fans and treat them well. I mean, you could be passed out on the ground and people will just step over you, or they'll help you over to a certain area or something. If that happens in America, the popo's coming for you, man. They're taking you away to jail for, you know, being incoherent and stuff. I mean, things are not set up for the fans here in America the way they are in Europe. And whenever anybody in America goes to Europe and goes to those festivals, they're like, oh my God, this is like the Holy Land. This is where it's, you know, this is where I want to live. And it's a lot easier for bands in Europe to travel from country to country. It's like, well, you live in Rochester, New York, I'm going to travel to Utah. And there's another great festival where that scene isn't established as well in America. And there definitely are some great festival organizers in the United States that are trying really, really hard.
Yep.
And they're using that European model, but you have to have the fans to buy the tickets and to get people in your venues or on the field or whatever. And it's not as easy as it is in the motherland of Europe, where heavy metal is still king.
And I think it's like you touched on it, a geographical thing. You know, Europe is a lot more condensed, and those countries, you know, you could take a train, go through France, over to Sweden, and it's sort of like driving from Rochester down to Virginia in a way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And
it makes us jealous that, you know, we wish that we could just like take a train over there and fly over there, but it's not that easy. It's expensive.
I want to go to a concert where I have to decide, okay, do I want to go to stage one and see Accept and Saxon?
Yeah.
Or Megadeth and some other band you're into. And
some Satan.
Yeah, it's like, my God, it's not even the money factor. But so are you involved in Rewind? Do you play any of those, or have you played any of those, or have been a guest on those?
In Europe, you mean?
Yeah.
We have. Destructor have played a number of those festivals pre-COVID. And now that COVID hit and stuff, if you notice, a lot of those bands that are playing typically are like really big names, like the Slipknots and the Kiss and the Alice Coopers. And then you have a host of excuse me, dozens and dozens of other bands underneath. But most of those bands are regional bands, or meaning that they're within the confines of Europe, or they're a band that's like just coming out, that's, you know, they're willing to foot their own bill. They're going to pay their airfare, the hotel, everything just to get there. And there's a stage for them. And that's kind of like how we started out. I mean, Destructor played Bakken. We played Headbangers Open Air. We played Keep It True. We played Bang Your Head Festival. Mm-hmm. And so there was a number of them we played in Belgium, but that was in a time when things were a lot different, and there was more of a demand or an ease of getting American bands over to Europe, where it's a little bit more difficult now.
What's your take on some of these bands? I call them the squiggly line bands. You know,
the squiggly line bands.
Yeah, you know,
the death metal bands.
Yeah, you can't even read the name of the bands. And is it? And I'm not cutting in on these bands because I'm not a musician, and who am I to? But is it just extremeness? I don't understand.
That's a really good question. I don't know the answer to that. I know that. Number one, for me, I'm an older guy. If I can't read the band's freaking logo, I'm probably not going to listen to the record, you know. But there is a lot there, you know, regardless of the genre, whether it be death metal or black metal or whatever, there's still a lot of really good bands that have a lot of merit. It's a matter of you being able to seek out what your ears like.
Yeah.
We have a friend of ours, Billy Landers. He's in a band called Order of the Dead. And he's been, you know, Bitch in the Well, Samara was another couple of his bands. He was from Rochester, down in the St. Petersburg metal scene down there for quite some time, hanging with Cannibal Corpse and bands like that, Dark Angel. He's a squiggly line band guy, and he is the death metal vocals. But we support Bill. We love him. It's a great, tight band. But, it, you know, again, it's the squiggly line band.
It's sort of like, you know, porn. There's something for everyone. It's whatever you're into.
Isn't that the truth?
I think if they actually you can read the band's name, they've not done it right. They want it so you can't. You don't know what it says.
Well, there was a time when
the mystery.
There was a time when the Destructor logo was extreme.
Oh, sure.
You know, it's like, whoa.
But still readable.
Yeah, I know. Hey, but
there was a time when Kiss were extreme and Iron Maiden was extreme, and that the Christians burned the records and stuff. And, you know.
Well, that's a perfect segue. Let's go back to March 1986.
86.
Here is Bob the Warhead Thomas asking you, how did you guys get your name? Check this out.
So who came up with the name Destructor for the band, anyway? Who's responsible for that gem?
Actually,
a couple people decided just to keep it. It seemed like just an intense name, and it popped up
one day when we were just kicking back partying.
With the spleefage.
And the, you know, usual alcohol intake.
Was it inspired at all by the Exciter tune called Destructor?
Yes, it brought it to our attention. It's also mentioned in the Judas Priest song, but...
We were eating too much pot.
We don't directly get any influences from any bands. We're just influenced by the heavy metal movement itself, not any band in particular.
Right.
Okay. Do you remember that exact moment?
Lies. They're all lies. Yes, I do. That's so funny to listen back to that. And especially, it's really heartwarming because I know Dave Ionico was with us, and, you know, we lost Dave. He was one of my closest friends and a great bass player, Dave Holocaust, for the band. Mm-hmm. And that's part of my great memories of the early days, and also being in Rochester and on the Warhead show. Truthfully, in hindsight, yeah, absolutely. We were Exciter fans. And we saw this, there was a song named Destructor, and we were like kicking around a bunch of different stuff. And probably at that time, we didn't want to admit, oh, yeah, we took the name from Exciter. But there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, Exciter took the name of their band from Judas Priest. I mean, you know, everything is begged, borrowed, and stolen. It depends on how well you do it, something with it. But my comment we're not really influenced by one band, we're influenced by the scene is 100% correct. And we, you know, Matt was eight years older than us. He turned us on to like a lot of 70s prog rock, Lucifer's Friend and Captain Beyond and all of this other stuff. And we were a little bit younger, obviously, and we were totally in tune with the new wave of British heavy metal and the Maidens and the Priests and the Motorheads and the Moors and the A to Z and the Angel Witches and Tank. So everything that we started to do and write really was a big soup. It's not like we need to sound like this band because this band sounds great. And I think at that time, you know, some bands were probably afraid to say that they took something from another band because they might be thrown into like, well, you're just trying to rip them off then.
I couldn't imagine you guys with any other name. I mean, that Destructor's the perfect fucking name for you
guys.
Yeah,
thank you.
You know, you talked about Dave Holocaust, and we got to mention Pat Rabbit also.
Yes,
who
sir.
Who was also passed. Besides you and Matt now, are there any other people who are still hanging around the band or involved with the band who were involved back in the day in the early origins of the band, like Phil Peters or Chris Andrews?
No, not really. It's a new world almost. Almost looking back at that time, it was like a different lifetime. And we're in a different place now. I mean, we could still have contact with some of these people, but they're not involved with the scene. I mean, that was what was happening at the time in Cleveland with people that were involved in doing things. And you know, you're talking about almost 40 years. So a lot has changed.
How about your friend Larry Hazen? Is he still hanging around?
You know Larry Hazen?
I actually was watching the video on YouTube. I think it was from 87. And you dedicated the song Tornado to him. You said, this is
okay.
My friend right out in front of me. You know, is he still hanging around? Are you still in contact with him?
So Larry Hazen is somebody that I worked with in the restaurant business. And then he ended up getting into the brewing business, and he was brewing beer for a number of years. And I haven't seen Larry in probably about 5 or 6 years. But we still stay in contact. Yes.
So what was your involvement in the restaurant business? What did you do?
You want to know the truth?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
So at the time when I was working with Larry, I was a salad guy, and I was working the sandwich station and making salads. And if we didn't have any weed for the night, we would collect a fund, and Larry would be like, all right, I'm going to cover for you. Go out and find a bag of some weed so we can come back and hang out by the dumpster later.
There you go. Well, all of us here have been, I am still involved, and so is the Vernomatic, in the restaurant business. I have a restaurant in
Florida.
So you
know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt.
We used to roll up. We called them TFBs, tinfoil bowls.
Yeah.
Or apple bowls.
Yeah, well, tinfoil, because, you know, a kitchen has tinfoil. You just roll it up, and we used to, like, someone would pack it up, and you'd hide it in the in the dumpsters, you know, the side grooves that the machine, the truck.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
Forklifts.
Yeah, you hide it in there. And
nobody would find it.
No one would find it, and everyone would be like, you know, the kitchen manager thought, oh, finally, these guys are running garbage, and we're out there doing one-hitters.
Yeah, I did come to work one time.
You tell the next guy, it's loaded, your turn.
I showed up to work one evening to discover that my bong that I stashed in the linens bucket, which was back by the dumpster, that linen guy happened to come that day and showed the boss that, and I came in, and here's my bong right up in the top of the pass. You couldn't miss it. And needless to say, on my way out that night, I grabbed my bong and never came back.
Yeah, of course. Back in the day, we would be cranking music through the kitchen and stuff, and there was one night when all of us decided it was going to be a good idea. Let's all take some acid together. So the waiter, the two line cooks, me, the dishwasher, everybody were tripping our balls off, you know?
Nice and weird, huh?
Yeah. So that was hysterical. And we would take bottle rockets and lay them on the floor and shoot them across the stations to each other. So if you're standing on the line and you're like sauteing up some food, a bottle rocket would shoot underneath your feet and explode.
It's Anthony Bourdain.
And we would save those for like, You don't do them all in a week or something. You know, 3 weeks from now, I got this bottle rocket. I'm gonna get this guy. You know.
Yeah, I still throw the little the little poppet things at my cooks on the line when I want them to wake up a little bit. They got a handful of poppets.
That's funny.
Well, I am gonna send you the link to this whole interview back from 1986, but I want to play you one more cut.
First of all, I want to welcome you guys to Rochester and WGMC's Metallic Overdrive.
Anyway, feels great to be in Rochester. All right. Okay. Warhead.
Well, right. Why don't you start by introducing yourselves? Tell us where you're from and what you do for the band.
Okay, I'm Dave Holocaust, bass player.
I'm Matt Flammable, drummer.
Pat Rabbit, guitar.
I'm Dave Overkill, guitar, lead vocals, and I'm from Venus.
Okay, are you guys all from Cleveland? Or
yeah.
Besides the Venus there?
No, we're from Euclid.
I'm from Uranus.
Yeah, we're actually from Euclid.
Okay, are you guys currently on tour in the Northeast? Uranus. Or just a one-stop type deal for now? Or?
Yeah, this is just one-stop.
No, two times, man.
Okay. Where will you be going to Rochester? You'll be going back to Cleveland then, right?
Yeah, I go back to Cleveland.
If you can find it.
Yeah.
It sounded like the acid was still going in that interview. That's good shit.
What college was that radio station in?
It wasn't a college. It was a
community.
Community public access, WGMC. I'm going to tell you the whole story because it was a promotional tool for the Lakeshore Record Exchange. Ron and Jackie Stein, the owners of Lakeshore, underwrote that show, fed it all the albums and everything. We're very proud of that, Dave. The metal pipeline in Rochester is, you know, there's a lot of history here. Everything from the Metallica guys recording Kill 'Em All to, you know, Destructor coming here in the early days. And I say that with love and sincerity because
thank you.
Everything in between the Penny Arcade, that's legendary. It's our Lemoore's. I have talked with people across the world that have said, oh, you know, Caton De Palma from Hyrax. He goes, I've heard of you guys.
Yeah.
He goes, you guys got game. And, you know.
Caton, another good friend of mine. He's awesome.
Stand-up guy for sure.
Absolutely.
I know you got to catch that flight in the morning, and I don't know if your pizza is getting cold, but I'm going to let my metal brothers wrap things up with another comment or two, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Well, Dave, as a professional part of the Metal Mayhem ROC show, it's always nice when we get great bands and great people like you. We did an interview with Jarvis, and we did an interview with James Rivera from Hellstar, and it's, you get going and stuff, and it's like sitting around with some friends having a beer just talking about metal. And I like when we can get that feel with whoever we happen to be talking to. And then, as I'm going to go fanboy on you real quick, I've always loved Destructor. Just love that band, and I just want to let you know, here I am. I mean, we're talking back in 86 when we first saw you, 85 when we first heard you.
Still on heavy rotation,
yeah,
right?
I just turned 54, still raging Destructor, and I love it.
Thank you very much. That means a lot. And you know, if you're a real heavy metal fan, you're in it for life, and it's so nice to be in this situation to have this opportunity to talk with you guys. And they have this camaraderie because this is what it's all about, you know.
It's a brotherhood for sure.
Yes.
Will we be getting any teasers from that Blood, Bone, and Fire, like the Ironclad? Will you be releasing anything beforehand to throw out, you know, a little teaser for the fans?
I don't know. That's something that I'd have to talk about with Shadow Kingdom Records. I know that... if you go online and you look at some live shows, there's a song called Dominate that we played. I think we played that in Detroit a couple of times when Nick was in the band, and we were playing with Satan. So that's a song off the new record.
Awesome.
And I think there might be a video of us playing Ironclad from Chicago. But as far as official release goes, I would imagine that we'll probably do a video for one of the songs and use that as a teaser release before the actual product is available to just try to build some interest. And my son Hunter is also adamant about working on a documentary about the band.
Oh, that would be great.
And putting something together that we put on a YouTube channel made available to everybody for free.
you know, I'm sure after this weekend, the somebody will post up something about Ironclad. There'll probably be a little home shot video,
yeah, no doubt.
Which is another thing of the nowadays. You know, there was none of that back in the day, but now it's everybody's got the telescopes up at the shows.
Yeah, good, bad, or otherwise.
Yep, that's right.
Dave, can we touch on something more of like what you're doing personally in your personal life? Like, what's going on in your backyard there? I see you got a bocce court going and a nice garden.
How are you looking in my backyard right now? Are you using Google Earth?
Some binoculars.
We're across the street.
we're big bocce fans around here. It was a big bocce community.
Are you guys
Rochester.
Parked in that van across the street?
Yeah.
Not the we're white creeping. Van.
God damn it. Yeah, so my wife and I have two greenhouses in the back. We're growing all kinds of tomatoes and peppers and herbs and stuff. And then my son and I, Hunter, decided about 4 years ago we were going to build a bocce court. And it's not a full-length bocce court. It's 25 feet long instead of, I think the real one is like 60 feet. Wow, but it's 12 feet wide. Yeah. And we have some limestone, ground-up limestone in there. And it's just nice. Secluded area to go back and crank the speaker and drink some beers and have some fun, you know.
You say drinking beers, you drink the Destructor beer?
When it's available, yes. Yeah. So we're going to be making the Destructor beer again this September, I think. I think the fourth batch that we've made of it.
That's pretty much
it. And it always sells out in like 3 weeks' time, so it goes pretty quick.
It's pretty much a local product. That's you got to be in Cleveland to get that, huh?
Yeah, it's too expensive to ship beer. The brewery doesn't want to do that, but it's always on tap at the brewery, and then there's always a big run of cans as well.
Get some good feedback on it.
I have a good friend that works in TV in Cleveland. Where could he pick this up at and bring it home? He's coming home next weekend.
And so if he works in TV, he's probably fairly close. The brewery is called Goldhorn Brewery, and it's because they have such a vast rotation of beers. Usually it only is available one time every year. You can't have it all the time. You have your flagship beers. You got they have a Dead Man's IPA, which is like an 8%. You know, you drink two of those, hopefully you're on the couch. And then they make a really good Pilsner, Polka City Pilsner, and that's probably their biggest selling beer. And then in the 12 months time, there's a rotation of every other kind of beer that you could probably think of that's done to the best quality. And I went in there one day before I picked up my wife from work, and I noticed Night Demon cranking from the back room, from the brewery room. And I went into the bar. This is my first time there. And I went into the bar and I was like, can I get a beer? And I saw Darkness Remains IPA, and I was like, that's a Night Demon song, that's a black IPA. So I was like, let me have one of those. And then I went and I asked the girl, I was like, is the brewery working today? And she said, yeah, he is, his name's Joel. So I went in the back and I kind of like, I was like, hey, look at me, I'm special. I'm like some idiot waving beyond the window. He comes over and I introduce myself, and he's like, oh yeah, man, I'm a big fan of the band. How's it going? You know, blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, we become fast friends. And I said, you know what? I could probably get you in contact with Jarvis, and you could do an official run of this beer for them and maybe do it canned and all this other stuff. Uh-huh. And so that was the beginning of my friendship with Joel, the brewer. And then like several weeks later, he goes, you want to make a Destructor beer? It was like, no, I don't think so, man.
Well, so is it available, or is it's a one and done?
It's a seasonal beer.
Seasonal.
Okay.
So they run it during the fall season, and it'll go they'll run a big barrel batch of the stuff, and then once it's gone, it's gone, and then something else like the Oktoberfest comes into rotation.
All right, well, cool. I'll have my buddy keep an eye out. I have one more cut I want to play you for you and your buddies, and then we'll say goodbye. Here you go. Check this one out.
Okay. It seems to me from the many bands that I've heard from Cleveland, like on the Etched in Steel and the other compilation albums, that
You guys are one of the only, if not the only, thrash bands in the area. Did you start out purposely just trying to be different from all the rest of the Judas Priest clone type bands, or did you just play that because that's the music you're most comfortable with?
We're just naturally brilliant, and we're just naturally brilliant.
We're naturally swollen heads.
That's
a big hammer, man.
When we first came out, all these other bands were playing more classical, traditional style heavy metal, and we always wanted to just come out and blast and play the heaviest. We didn't really sit down and say, pressure ourselves to be this way. It just kind of flowed. It was a natural thing. You know, we just happened to be Destructor, power, heavy metal, whatever you want to call it.
Right. Now, being generally heavier than most bands in Cleveland, did you find it was harder to get gigs than, say, a Breaker or a Shock Paris?
No,
actually, when we came out, everybody was starving for something grinding, you know, and we were really fairly well received our first couple shows.
Time out, man, it was cool.
But just coming out on the scene, a good turnout.
Yeah.
Shock Paris, I remember seeing those guys open up a few metal shows. So.
Yeah, you know that was true, and I don't know how much more time you guys have, but here's a quick story. So Exciter was on their first tour and they were coming through Cleveland, and we had yet to get our first show. We had our demo out and all this other stuff. We went to the show and we've played with all of these bands, the Shock Pierces and the Breakers and stuff. We're friends with them. And, you know, so the old days, it sort of was like, yeah, very much competition, but we were also, you know, in a sort of dysfunctional family, if you will. And we went to that show and Shock Paris opened up for Exciter. And we're like, what the fuck, man? We should be opening this show, man. This is bullshit, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
and that's when we're like, all right, man, we really need to start knocking on some more of the right doors and stuff. And actually, Chris Andrews is the one that put on that show. He used to have Warped Records. It was in Lakewood outside of Cleveland and stuff. And he already heard about us, and Matt was working the door. This is Matt before we met Matt, because we had a different drummer at the time, Matt Flammable. And so they all knew there's these kids that have this band that are going to, you know, be on one of these next gigs coming up. You know, it just didn't happen to be the Exciter gig that we wished we had.
We saw Exciter at the arcade with Shock Paris opening, and that was the Violence and Force tour, I think. We saw it.
Damn it.
1984? Violence and Force?
They played twice that year? With
yeah, so I think...
Well, then
I
they
think...
saw... Yeah, they opened for Motorhead and Fate at the...
Auditorium.
That was December of 1984.
Yeah. Yes.
But that was the Exciter show at... Here's a quick story. So the owner of the Penny Arcade... name was Greg Sullivan. He calls up Ron Stein, who owned the Lakeshore Record Exchange, says, Ron, listen, all these promoters and labels are calling me up to book all these metal shows here, and I don't know anything about these bands. Do you know any of these bands, Exciter or, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so? And Ron's like,
sure did.
He goes, yeah, you know, I'm selling a lot of their albums. All the kids are gobbling this up. Let me talk to their management, blah, blah, blah. Ron Stein, he seals the deal. First gig, fuck, you know, Dave, the place was packed. It was on a Sunday afternoon. You know, that's what we used to do. We used to go down to the arcade on Sunday afternoons, and they would have, who did we see? Exciter there.
Anvil. Merciful Fate, King Diamond, Megadeth.
King Diamond, Megadeth on Killing.
Yep. Every tour that you guys saw, either came from your way to us or from our way to you. It was, you know what I mean? It was all flowing down the same vein.
Yeah, let's not forget Destructor, too. We got to see you guys. It was great.
What were some of your early concerts you went to? Who are you, like, your favorite bands of all time? And give us your Mount Rushmore of killer metal shows.
Okay, so that's pretty easy. Unfortunately, my parents were pretty religious, and I wasn't allowed to get... to go to a lot of shows and stuff, but like Rabid, he got a fake ID. He saw Saxon at the Agora when he was like 16 years old. And my first show ever was Rush and April Wine at the Coliseum. Was Rush Hemisphere's tour, and April Wine She's a roller.
Fuck.
And that was my first real concert. And then after that, you know, for me, the Iron Maidens, the Motorheads, Priest, some of this stuff really still is the Mount Rushmore. Lemmy is a god. I sometimes I listen to some Motorhead and I start to weep up. I get emotional because it's so fucking good and it hits me in that spot. You know,
I got to the reason I met the Vernomatic was in an eighth grade study hall class. He saw my Rush albums. We would bring it in, maybe seventh grade. We would bring them in and play them in the library, and he started quizzing me on Rush and how much of a fan I was. We are both diehard Rush fans too.
Right on,
Dave. I got one question. You're flying out. What airline are you happen to be flying out on?
Shit, I'd have to look at the itinerary. I think it's United and Delta.
Oh boy, I just flew up here from Florida, and what a nightmare with Delta. They fly out of Melbourne, Florida, which is where I live, and we've never had problems with them until this recent trip coming up here. Pretty much left.
I'm sorry,
us.
You're breaking up.
They left
you're
us
breaking up.
right. Hopefully, you don't have any problems, and
I hear you. Thank you.
The gig goes off great. Good. Best of luck with that, and. You know, to the band too.
Dave, I'm glad we caught you before you went to Mexico. This actually worked out pretty good. We got up here, John, you know, got this all rolling, and I appreciate you.
It is perfect timing, and I just want to say, John, and Mike, thanks for the opportunity to have a great conversation with you guys. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I appreciate you putting me on the Metal Mayhem Show.
You got it. All right, man. Talk to you soon. Take care.
Later.
Metal for Life.
Thank you for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our website at metalmayhemroc.com for information on podcasts, archives, links to all our live radio shows, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone, even your non-metal friends. And always remember to keep it heavy.